Hello, with our show, the weekly portion, and this time the portion of Chukat. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, Moshe Edmoni. The portion of Chukat is a portion in which it opens with the Chukah, the laws of the Torah that is given to the people of Israel, who continues in their travels in the desert. A lot of events happen to them. One of them is the precept of the red cow and the laws of truth, and what happens with Miriam, the water of the fight, and they find they don't have enough water, so Moses hits the rock, and the Creator punishes Aaron and Moses and determines that they shall not enter the land of Israel. And the nation comes to, the people get to Edom, but the king of Edom do not let them pass. And then Aaron passes away. Eleazar, his son, inherits the role of the great priest, and later the people of Israel once again complain about the hardships on the path, and the Creator sends snakes to bite the people, and Moses prays for the people, and the Creator tells him to make a snake of metal so that all the people should see that. And the people of Israel come to the border of the land of Moab, and they come to a well and sing the song of the well. At the end, they meet Sichon Melech Amori, and Og Melech Bashan conquers. So, Rav Lightman, there's a lot of one thing and its opposite, the cow and the snake, and Chukat. Well, in general, in all of the laws, we have restrictions and negatives and also positive. It's also in the laws of our world. They tell you here you can't pass the road here, you can't do this or that. There's all kinds of conditions that limit you. A law always limits you and shows you what you can do up until here and no more. Or you can go up until here and no further. It's a limitation. And this limitation comes in order to protect me. So, actually, if I keep this law, then I'm probably in the right in order to live correctly, to keep my health and security, and also towards the general law, to be identified with it in the correct way. So these laws needs to be in accordance to the development of a person. So not before, not after, but while one in this portion of Chukat, the matter of this work is revealed, the work of each and every law, where you both say that red cow, if a person is impure, it heals him, and if he's pure, then the opposite, it's impure, it defiles him. And this happens with each and everything, also with the snake. On the one hand, it's all bad, but it depends on how you use it. If you use it with a certain limitation, then it can even be the symbol of medicine. Or as here, the snake of copper through which everybody's healed. What's in the snake that everybody who sees it is healed? You're healed from what? You're healed from what you received from the poison of the snake beforehand. So it is a thing in its opposite. And the same with the red cow, because you're defiled, supposedly from the same cow that influenced you when you were in bestowal, when you were holy, and because you touched a cow, a red cow, that is to you, that was then to you a defiling force. And now, when you're already defiled and impure, you once again go to the red cow and use it, and through that, you become holy. What's happening here? Actually, there are a lot of explanations about this, but the wisdom of Kabbalah talks not about an interpretation, but about the laws of nature. And it tells us this. There are only two qualities in all of reality, the quality of bestowal and the quality of reception. The quality of bestowal is the Creator, bestowal, love, and the quality of reception and hatred is the creature, the opposite, because the one's inclination is evil from youth. So if the inclination of man is evil from youth, then we need to correct it through what? Through the force of the Creator. But all these two forces are very distant from one another. They are opposite. And in spirituality, if you have a plus and minus, the greater they are, the farther they are from each other. And because the force of the creature and the force of the Creator are the only ones in reality, they're infinitely far from one another. One is on the one hand, on the one side of the universe, and the other on the other side. It's like two ends. So how can we begin to correct ourselves if the force of bestowal is so far? And I am commanded to love thy friend as thyself. How is it possible to demand this from me, where I can only love myself, and that's all I think about instinctively in whatever you do, and I'm not able to think of anything else? Well, the Torah teaches us that whatever you think, wherever you think you love others, it's actually you enjoying using others. And if you didn't receive any pleasure from them, you wouldn't even look at them. Either you eat them up because you enjoy it that way, or you give him all kinds of gifts because you enjoy it. But it's not possible that you love for no reason in order to give to him and not to yourself, because he's only the means for you to make yourself feel good. So then there's such a thing here that we need to learn our own psychology and of all of reality in order to get to know how much we are only in the force of reception, the force of our ego. However, still in each and every one of us, there's a small spark of that force of the Creator, of the force of bestowal in each and every one of us. This is called the root of the soul. And then, if I have a big negative will to receive, and a spark of that positive force already, I'm in something that integrates the two. And then a method comes to me, showing me how I can grow this force, this small point, the positive point within me, so that it will grow and become greater and begin to rule over the negative force. If I have even a slight bit of that positive force within me, the Creator within me, which is called the godly part from above. Does any person have this? Yes, anyone. It's just that there are those who awaken to it and those who do not. And maybe it'll take them a few more years, maybe tomorrow. So the Torah is to grow this positive force of love and bestowal to rule and control the negative force of reception and hatred. And therefore, it's called the Torah of life, because by putting one force above the other, by that I'm becoming alike to the Creator, I'm becoming Adam, alike to the Creator. And then there is a whole method of how to do this, how to correct it. But in this method, we have a very special deed in this integration of the two forces, that we bring these two forces close together, the negative and the positive. And we need to see in what way we can work with them. It turns out so, and this is what the red cow speaks about. Be very careful. If you are in the positive force, the Creator within you that is controlling you, and you're identified with Him, be careful not to touch the negative force, okay? Because it can come and cause you damage. If you are in the negative force, you need to cause the positive force to come to you. So there's this mutual work here, where you can't, without the negative force, grow the positive, and without the positive, you can't grow the negative. But the integration between these two forces, the combination, needs to be like with the red cow. On occasion, once we're thrown to the bad, once we're thrown to the good, once I want to win and to rule the entire world, and once I'm willing to be righteous, I don't need a thing, and completely devoted to the Creator. But and in accordance to that, I operate in this system. Once with the red cow that purifies, if I'm defiled or impure, and once I'm very careful from her, from it, because it can also defile. And it's the same with the snake. It's exactly the same thing. It's just that the degrees are different. Because we develop through different types of desires. There's a desire from a level that is called inanimate, then there's the vegetative, the animal level, and the speaking level. So then the snake is all of our will to receive that is called the snake. This is clear. And if the snakes come, what does this signify to us? That our ego is a flame and wants to swallow us up. And then what do we do? In a minute, it will be buried under this ego. So what do? Therefore, we need to see in this ego, just like in the red cow, a helpmeet other. You just need to look at it. Don't be afraid from it. Look at it. See how much you made it. And not that it exists on by itself. This is the copper snake. If you understand that you created it, that it's just a kind of image, a virtual image. There is nothing to it except for you blowing it up and it became like this big balloon. It's not real. If you discover it in such a way that you don't need to be afraid, that you'll be healed. The most important thing is not to be afraid at all by your ego growing. It only grows or rises so that you will see in it a helpmeet. Other help, a helper for yourself. Just like all the sufferings, like all of this world, all in all, they're intended to push a person to the goal. And therefore, both the red cow and the copper snake, and in general, each and every incident in our life, in each and every moment, it's all in all the means, the ways that the Creator calls us and draws us quickly to go through all these stages and be integrated in the purpose, which is the world of infinity. This is called paradise. So every quality that is awakened within a person, he can turn it around. Yes, everything, anything on this ladder that we're going up, the ladder of the degrees, we are under a special treatment. It's just like with a child. We give him games for the age of 3 or 4. Everything is gradual. It's a whole science how to develop a child, and it's the same with us. The lights awaken us in certain ways, the will to receive that stirs and rises within us. Everything it's like a Swiss clock. There's nothing that is redundant. There's no coincidence. There's nothing that happens just because, oh no, what happened to me? No. Everything comes from the same source of the light that operates on the will to receive that he created, and in a very methodical way grows this will to receive of all these 7 billion people, all kinds of connections between them and so on. Everyone is advancing towards the end. The question is, how will we reach it? And now we're in a very critical stage, whether we advance in a short, nice way, and this is very close to us now, or we will go into, God forbid, all kinds of problems, and up until even world wars, and only then we will still need to decide that it's worthwhile for us to advance towards the goal. So I will ask a question about my qualities. I have a quality, so I have a very high threshold of stimuli. I have to do a lot all the time. I'm very active. But I also have this quality of laziness. If you put me on a sofa to lie down and do nothing, there is no greater pleasure than that. Not to sleep. No. To feel that you're resting and not doing anything. Yes, of course, this is the greatest pleasure. I understand it too. Everybody does. So I want to use this quality that's called laziness and use it alongside that spark that is, I don't want to erase it. I want to turn it around. I want to use it for the good. So what do I do with this quality that's called laziness? Laziness is a very nice quality. Bala Sulam writes about it. Actually, it's just like every quality within us. There is no bad quality. It only depends on how you use it and when you use it. And if a person, through the quality of laziness, doesn't run from place to place wherever he feels like, but he thinks, is it worthwhile or not, then the quality of laziness stops him from doing harmful things. So it's very good that you have it. Yes, but usually this quality navigates a person, and not that a person takes it just like a soldier and puts it places. Yeah, that's something else, but you talked about qualities, not how to control them. Okay, so that's the next question. How do we control these qualities? Well, that's the whole thing. How do we control them? There is only one means, the greatness of the goal. And the greatness of the goal only depends on the environment. And the environment is the teacher, books, and the group. And the most important thing is the group. So organize in such a way that the group will influence you, that they will hint to you even, but suddenly you don't know. Maybe they do a trick, they talk between themselves, and you hear just this half a word, and from this half a word, you are aflame. Suddenly, you think, how do they know? How great they are? How do they understand? And that's it, and by that, this is what needs to be. Already you think how you can use all of your attributes, both the good and bad, because there is no good and bad. But if it's directed towards the goal, then it's okay. And the most important thing is to be impressed by the environment and the goal. There's nothing else. It's only that will give us the ability to advance in the way of the path of light, the quick path, the good path. There is no quality that is not beneficial. Okay, so if I advance towards the goal, I need to run to the society, and this is actually the way to control my qualities. Lie on the sofa, enjoy not moving at all, just like that. But together with that, put the earpiece in your ear, or watch Channel 66. You'll see that in a few minutes after you put Channel 66 on, you won't be able to lie down anymore. Talk to your wife. The moment I lie down, you turn on the TV. Because you won't turn it on yourself, because you know in advance what it will do to you. So let her do it. Okay, I'll ask another question. You always tell about yourself that according to your character, you're impatient, you can get very angry, even at your students. But when it comes to spirituality, you are completely patient, infinitely patient. How does this happen? Because you have characteristics that are very sharp. So how do you separate between? Well, I myself am sometimes surprised at how it is this way, that in spirituality one can come for 10 years or not come and sometimes behave this way or that way, maybe sit in the lessons with a sour face. It doesn't matter. He's discerning the Creator is operating upon him. I am not allowed to interfere with that. I'm not allowed to do anything. This is a person's free choice. There is no coercion in spirituality. If he asks me for of something as a result of his connection with his society, with the friends, with the environment, then I can help with in some way. But also this help comes in such a way that it will never cause him to lose his liberty and independence. So it's not that you don't care about them, but you know that you're not allowed to intervene. Yes, yes. It's worse than what can come of the study itself. It's to that extent. This is what we learn also in the preface to the study of the Ten Sefirot. There is the story about the rooster and the bat, that if you use your approach to life in a bad way, you enter darkness. Instead of the regular person that's neither in the darkness or in light, doesn't know what it is. So a person that has the opportunity to advance should advance towards the light. And if not, then he'll remain in that way. So are you talking about patience towards your own process or patience towards others? Patience towards the student who can, in order to discern things for himself, maybe he needs to go through them for many years. And I'm not allowed to hasten him. So what about yourself? Does it also happen with yourself, or you're going through a certain state that you're patient towards yourself, or do you rush yourself and pressure yourself? I identify the states that I go through, and I try in each and every state to reach it in such a way that I'm dealing with what can be helpful to me, to constantly feel myself, to keep myself in the most beneficial way, to be useful as possible. And usually I do this by keeping myself busy with all kinds of things. And also by teaching and doing all kinds of shows. I shoot these shows a few hours a day. Okay, so you organize a kind of structure for you so you won't run away from the inner work. That's right, I have a blog I need to work on. I have the shows that I do in the studio. I have a morning lesson. I have all kinds of things I need to do, answer a few dozens of emails a day. So you also recommend this for the students? Of course it's necessary, not in my style, but in maybe a different style, but you need to be committed, whether you want to or not. It's just like you have a baby at home, whether you want to or not, you need to treat it. If he's crying, you need to get up and help. If he needs something, you need to supply it. Except here, in advance, you need to put yourself in this structure that will compel you. Otherwise, your animal will stray in the field and run around to all directions. I want to go back to what we were talking about around the red cow. There are the snakes, that this ego that rises within a person. So in such states where the ego grasps you from all sides and you feel it, you know how much you're under it. And yet, on the other hand, you're saying, if you look at it, you see that it's just a hot air balloon. And maybe it's like the snake skin you can take off and put away. But it's not so simple. But you see how the snake just leaves you alone, and that's it. It's the importance of the becoming renewed. So it seems as if this isn't value. This has no value. On the other hand, it has no substance. But on the other hand, it really grasps you. So how do you, as a person, have the strength to turned to go to the other side, to hold on to his spark. This happens only through the environment. Therefore, the whole spiritual path, it's so difficult. I don't know how to put it. You cannot fulfill it. You cannot advance in it. You can't even touch it. To step on it with one foot, on the one hand. On the other hand, it's very easy. It becomes a nice adventure, a stroll. On the condition that you use the group. But in these moments, and maybe I will even say that this is like to things we go through in the everyday life, but in such moments where you feel that it grasps you and you're unable to let go of it, what is the importance of the goal in such moments or the group? Okay, so there is none, but you have such a schedule that in a few hours you have to meet them, and if you don't go, you die. And that's it. And this happened to me as well. Happened that I laid on the floor, just like a body that they put on the floor, you know. And Rabash came and looked at me, and I told him, I'm not getting up. It happened in Tveria once. Once it happened when he was present. I'm not getting up. That's it. Lying down on the floor, without anything beneath me, without a pillow or anything. That's it. If you can't come to the society must come to you. Because you've actually signed a covenant. They must come and help you, just like with my teacher. I had to come to him and do all kinds of things. So if I didn't come on time, he'd come to my room to see what's going on. And he saw that I'm already a body on the floor. And what did he do? He said, how can you leave your friend when I need you? Get up. That's it. There's no other way. You already signed this agreement, so you have to keep it. And this is what needs to be in everything. Maybe you can't get up to go study, or in the middle of the day something happens. Always, 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 the society is responsible to survey everyone, to see in what state everybody is, and to awaken. Okay, and many times in relationships between friends, the ego suddenly rises, and they both even know it. Both of them know, let's just let it go, let's just hug, but you don't have the power to do it. How do you, in these moments, forgo yourself and hold on to the spark? They can't. If you're talking about this final state, they are not able to. Each one knows that it's nonsense, each one knows that it's really... And they can't. They're not able to skip over this final millimeter. What do they do? There's nothing to do. Either time will do its thing or the environment. If you're talking about the ideal state, even if the angel of death will come, then we won't be able to do it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the acknowledgement of the will to receive. Huh? What a wonder of creation it is. Isn't it supposed to bring you joy, finally, this such a state? Yes, of course, because you see what the Creator has created, what a power there is in the ego. And out of that, you already reach a kind of acknowledgement of the power of bestowal in the Creator Himself. Okay, so now I'd like to move to the integral education, because such states of fights and egoism, these qualities, that we know this from society. So how does integral education solve such things, such states or qualities that are very, very hard within a person? We talked about laziness, jealousy. How does integral education suggest for a person to change it? Not to get rid of it, but to change it into something positive. What's the problem? People aren't able to do it. Just like we build it in our society, the Kabbalists, they build the same system between them, right? Let's say No, don't suppose. Do they have a society? Yes, they do. They sit down and have discussions. But not just discussions. Are they also willing to strengthen one another, to keep one another, even when they're not together, to make sure that they're connected between them? Not yet. They need to be in the same form as we. We yearn for the correction, for the Creator and adhesion with Him, to attaining the final purpose, which is achieving the quality of bestowal. For them, it's not this way, because they don't have this desire from the inside. Their desire is to live a good life, maybe also a little bit to the next world, to reach it. Every person has a kind of inclination towards that. It's not harmful to have that. You know, this is how everybody treats that. It's okay. We want to have that. As much as I talked to politicians and scientists, at the end of the day, they all begin to ask about it. It's a wonder. I used to be so surprised. You're talking to some dry physicist who's hard like a rock, and you're talking to a politician who's such a person that doesn't care about anything. He will sell everyone. And suddenly they start, because this is the unknown part within each and everyone. So they begin to ask you, and you begin to see he's a small child who's scared. Still, there's something unknown. There's death, and what happens next? Is there something or isn't there? And here, so we also need to use that in order to explain things. So what they mostly want is a good life. And so in the crisis, we need to see that either we'll succeed or we'll be very, very harmed by it in all fields. It's not just education, money, work, vacation, or health. And hurricanes and tsunamis together, heating and freezing and everything. So you're telling them the same thing you tell yourself. We need to connect in order to strengthen everyone to be as one man and one heart. Well, you're not maybe talking in this way. This is maybe might sound too strong, but we need to support one another. We need to be in a kind of arvut with one another. We need to be in a mutuality in this round society. Why? Because by that, we're adjusted to the force of nature, adjusted to the same law that this global crisis shows us, that it ties us together. And if it ties us together, let's be tied together in the good relations. And then this crisis won't be against us. This force that is around us and reaches us and closes us, this one force, we will be as one against it as well. And then we will feel a positive force from it and not the negative. It's just like the red cow that defiles the holy people and sanctifies the ones that defile, that are defiled, the impure ones. It's just like that. The same crisis will suddenly feel that it's not a crisis. It's a force that raises us, that gives us this blossoming. We'll suddenly enter this new age. We will discover such technologies, such things that we won't need to work. We won't even need to make any effort. We'll begin to take food and pleasures and all kinds of fulfillment out of the air. This is possible to do, because in each part of creation there's energy. We just can't take it out, but this energy can blow everything up. There's no problem with anything. If you explain it to them in such a way, this is just like the portion of Chukat. You teach them how to build good things out of the bad things. It all depends on how a person relates to it. If I relate to reality in a negative way, everything will be negative towards me. If I relate to it positively, everything will be positive towards me. It's the same issue of the red cow or the copper snake. That's it. And so there is no difference between what we're doing in the wisdom of Kabbalah and the connection between us in order to attain spirituality. And his group, where they're dealing with the method of the integral education in order to attain corporeal reality. It's the same. Both we need to reach the love of others and they need to reach the love of others. Except we use more actively the lights, the surrounding lights, the light that reforms and so on, and they use it in such a way that they don't quite understand what's happening. Just like the teacher that plays with the kids, they don't know exactly what's happening, but the teacher knows that there's a plan that was written even from the Ministry of Education that he needs to perform that with them, and they grow. And then they begin to feel that within this connection between them, there's suddenly these new forces. Where does it come from? From the cow that sanctifies. I have to ask a question. I find myself seeing a lot of workplaces, organizations, and I see that people are very tired. They are very closed off. It's shut down. The relationships are empty. So I don't even want to tell them about the crisis because they don't even feel it. No, don't talk about anything negative. Not only that it's negative, but they can't even see it. They only want to. They don't have the power. So where will they have the strength to even begin to rise above all the fighting between them, the lack of faith that anything can change? Where do you even begin this change from? From you putting them together in a workshop and letting them talk about something that they're able to talk about. It's desirable, recommended that it will be positive, some fantasy. Talk about things that maybe that aren't so close to them, but something that is pleasant to talk about. That they'll begin to exit themselves in such a way and to recover. I wouldn't put them in any philosophical questions or politics, of course not, or economy. All these things, they are all destroyed completely and opposite. But something that will help a person to step out of himself a little bit, to be awakened a little bit. And it seems to me that in such a way they'll begin to feel that in this discussion between them there is the medicine. This is what we need to show them. However much you feel like it, don't feel it, good, bad, let us deal a little bit with this special treatment for ourselves, a psychological treatment, to feel good, to live a little, so that through this treatment I will be able to raise myself higher for a day or two, feel better for a day or two. So let's do this treatment once or twice a week. Already this is good and worthwhile. Why should I feel bad? Let's do this. So if there are complaints, or especially let's say in an organization, one, that the boss isn't okay, he's too strict, he doesn't understand us, and the second one, also the clients. If we could exchange the clients and the boss, we would get along with one another. I'm not talking about these things at all. Okay, you're not talking about it, but this is what's bothering them. No, that's not true. If one has good mood, he doesn't care about the boss, doesn't care about the clients. He's like a piece of wood on the waves, flowing in the stream of life, and nothing influences me. Everything depends on your mood. Even these complaints about the boss or the wife or the children, it's all nonsense. If one has high spirits, all these things, I can laugh about them. I accept it is something that's a joke. That's it. Instead of trying to change my boss or the clients or the entire world and 1,001 things and the climate and whatnot, all I need is to raise myself, just raise myself to a different level of accepting, of perceiving life. And this is something we can do through this discussion of 20, 30 minutes. So let's do it. You won't be able to fire your boss within 20 minutes. You know, in one of the organizations that we worked in, somebody told him, you know, a woman told me that this is a masculine way of thinking. There are a lot of people there that complain about the boss and the clients, and we just told them, you know what, we're a good group. Let's do something so we'll be happy, we'll feel pleasant, we feel nice about coming to work. But they enjoyed so much to complain about the boss and the management. They told us, you know what, no, this is just like a efficient masculine way of thinking. Let us complain. Why do you ruin this for us? No, I'm not ruining it. I'm just seeing that by this, I'm not being constructive. I want to be in a good mood. As much as I criticize my boss, talk to you about bad things about him, by that, we also are ruining ourselves. Even though we enjoy it, maybe, criticizing him and making a puppet out of him, but it's not beneficial. It's not beneficial. We, by that, do not advance with our good moods, with feeling life as good and the way we relate to one another. We just sit there and constantly, it's like old grannies. This is not a healthy approach. Every psychologist can tell you that. It's good if you maybe make a puppet of your boss and maybe beat it, so that's on the one hand. On the other hand, you're hitting it in order to get rid of your inner stress and to feel good. So, and then also your boss will be happy that you beat up a doll in his image. So this good mood that we're able to extract from this good relationship between us, is it the same as what we do in the groups between us where we talk about the greatness of the goal and the creator, that for it, it's worthwhile not to use the evil within me? With them, the goal is to live well. And for us, the goal is to attain the creator, adhesion with the creator, the revelation of the creator. So each one advances in these different interpretation, different words, and through the power of the environment, we draw the light. So we do this in a conscious way. We walk consciously towards the goal. I have myself, the group, the books, the teacher, the workshops, the lessons. Each time I check, am I drawing surrounding life upon myself, and does it really reach me optimally or not? And they don't understand this so much. They're run by you. But when you draw the light, you are also transferring it to them when you work with them. And then they feel this change. And then they even feel a spiritual uplifting. And this is how we will all finally reach the end of correction. So we need to correctly use this force that needs, that is able to ruin everything, but can also correct it. So this is Chukat. Yes. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Moshe Admoni. Thank you, our viewers at home. And Shabbat Shalom.